the Jerry Vader Show.
.10:06, I have to share that because as always, Joe is brilliant. Joe and Eau Claire. Talking about how a couple of non-believers were thrown by my comments about God and Donald Trump. And because it's part of God's plan, that doesn't mean God is pro-Trump. That's not what I said. Joe puts this beautifully. Oftentimes people ask, how could a loving God allow that to happen, whatever that is? Changes from conversation to conversation and time to time. God's plan is for his glory, not necessarily for our temporary fading happiness. Not only not necessarily, not at all, Joe. God's focus is usually 97 to 99% focused on this brief temporary. Our focus is usually 97 to 99% focused on this brief temporary time on earth. His focus is on eternity. If bad things happen, but it draws people away from selfish pursuits and brings them to faith in Christ for salvation, that is an eternal purpose, and that is forever. But to those who do not believe, it makes little sense. Well done. Well done. Now, I want to double back to a topic that I briefly mentioned. I said I lost the source for it. I found it. Sarah Palin and Drill Baby Drill. Today's Wall Street Journal. Drilled Baby Drilled. Readers of premillennial vintage may recall the 2008 presidential campaign when Republicans, and especially Sarah Palin, picked up the chant Drill Baby Drill as a response to soaring oil prices. That's what was going on. Gas prices were rising because price per barrel of crude was skyrocketing. The theme was much derided, not least by Barack Obama, who as late as 2012 called it a slogan, a gimmick, and a bumper sticker, but not a strategy. 10 years later, who was right? The U.S. Energy Information Administration reported Thursday that U.S. crude oil production exceeded 10 million barrels a day for the first time since 1970. That's double the 5 million barrels produced in 08, thanks to the boom in, well, drilling, baby. It has doubled. It has doubled since conservatives were making that their energy battle cry. The EIA summary puts it this way. U.S. crude oil production has increased significantly over the past 10 years, driven mainly by production from tighter rock formations, including shale and other fine-grained rock, using horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing to improve efficiency. This is the fracking boom, our readers know well, that has been driven by innovation in the private oil and gas industry. The magnitude of the boom is remarkable. The gusher has pushed the U.S. close to overtaking Saudi Arabia and Russia as the world's leading oil producer. Earl, I just have disbelief every time I read that aloud. In 2006, the U.S. imported 12.9 million barrels a day of crude and petroleum products. By last October, that was down to 2.5 million a day. Some gimmick. This translates into greater energy security as the U.S. is less dependent on foreign oil sources. Donald Trump calls it energy dominance, which implies that the U.S. wants to husband its supplies like gold at Fort Knox. The reality is we want to produce and sell what the market will bear, including exports to willing buyers around the world. Thanks to Congress's deal with Mr. Obama in 2015, when Republicans extended wind and solar subsidies in return for lifting oil export ban, the U.S. exported some 1.5 million barrels of oil a day in November. Some readers may recall that Heritage Action instructed Congress to vote no, and Breitbart called the bill a total and complete sellout of the American people. Perhaps even they can now see that trading temporary subsidies for a permanent change in export law was shrewd and good for the country. Also striking is how quickly the oil and gas industry has recovered from the oil price plunge of 2015-16. Previous price declines led to multiple bankruptcies and big failures. This time, Drillers adapted quickly, took the rig count down fast, and cut costs. America's flexible private capital markets helped the companies ride out the price trough, and now producers, investors, and lenders are reaping the benefits of the oil price rebound to $69 a barrel. And don't forget the fracking boom in natural gas. And people do, by the way. EIA says U.S. gas production increased by some 50% from January 2010 to November 2017, reducing carbon emissions and heating prices. Thanks to new export terminals, the U.S. is now selling liquefied natural gas around the world. This has the potential to compete with Russian gas so Western Europe doesn't have to succumb to Vladimir Putin's periodic energy blackmail. Unleashing U.S. energy is Donald Trump's best Russia containment strategy. I could not agree more. The national security benefits of this are just immeasurable. And untethering Western Europe from that Russian dominance is a global game changer. It's worth stressing some of the policy lessons in all this. The first is that the best response to energy shocks is to let the market adjust to the price signals. As oil prices soared in the latter half of the last decade, politicians panicked and rushed to ban certain light bulbs and subsidize and mandate cellulosic ethanol and other energy fads. Again, the biggest mistake of the W administration is falling for that. The media fed the panic and cheered the politicians on. We were back at peak oil and the end of fossil fuels. Yet American ingenuity was already discovering the solution for high prices in the shale plays of North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Texas, and elsewhere. These drillers could move fast because they had the support of private capital and could lease private land. The frackers were also largely regulated by the states, which meant even the Obama administration couldn't stop them, which it would have if they could have. And that was the frustrating part. He hates fracking, but he took credit for the increased oil production it was generating. This is a familiar American story of invention and wealth creation that benefits everyone. But it never would have happened if central planners in Washington had to approve it. That's the most important lesson here. That's an excellent, excellent point by the Wall Street Journal. That state regulations allowed fracking to happen. And there were all sorts of scare tactics to try to stop it. And that didn't happen. The next step now is this offshore exploration. Why do we import when we export? There are market forces that are above my pay grade on that. I would have to do some research to explain that, but there are reasons why you don't go down to zero, that you are actually exporting while importing. It might actually be price friendly depending on all the circumstances. There are a number of variables that go into that. All right, on to other things in 5 minutes. Oh, wait, Earl, wait. I have to quick answer a question in an email. Sorry, false start, which is another Jeopardy answer they would have gotten wrong, by the way. There were no false starts in that category, by the way. There was delay of game. If you didn't hear it, an entire Jeopardy category about football, they never rang in once. None of the three players knew anything about football. Speaking of that, a loyal listener asked Jerry Kramer, are you going to talk about Jerry Kramer possibly being elected to the NFL Hall of Fame? I did a whole segment on that yesterday. And what I said is I would be shocked if they didn't do it. I can't believe that they would be that cruel. It certainly what is his last chance. I just can't believe they'd be that cruel. Now, on to other things in 5 minutes. 10:16.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.